Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever that we happen to be joining you today, whether it's by your favorite podcasting service, whether it's by YouTube, whether it's here live on Facebook or later on Facebook. Just so glad that all of you are joining us from wherever you're joining us, from right here in beautiful Southwest Phoenix. Do want everybody to know that, as you notice behind me, my walls are now bare. We are moving, so next week will be my last broadcast from here. We'll take 2 weeks off, one for just to kind of get everything situated for the move, and then the other Sunday we'll actually be in transit moving. But then that next Sunday we'll be right back. So two Sundays after tomorrow, after next Sunday, two Sundays off, and then we're back. We want to get started for prayer. Remember Lee and Kim Ball. Kim starts some treatments, and I do want you to remember her hot and heavy in your prayer. If you can get a prayer up, ring the prayer bells of heaven. For Bobby and Billy Parker, they're in Eton, Georgia. My pastor friend and his wife touched that. They've got to just move in their life and bring healing. Pray for my wife, Christina. She's traveling today, actually. She's headed down to Texas for school workshops. As we both are teachers, she has workshops. We don't really get summers off. For those who think teachers get summers off, joke's on you. So remember that. Continue to remember Bishop Lee. He is in Sacramento, California today. Investing some new members in the DCFII family. Glad that they're joining us. And just glad to bring another church and ministry into the fold. As we continue to cross picket lines and preach the blood of Jesus Christ is still sufficient to do whatever needs to be done in your life. Can we pray this morning? I'm just excited. I'm missing my wife, if you can't tell, if I seem a little off. But let's go to prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, power, grace, and your glory. Lord, I pray that today, God, you will reach out and you will let my voice become not the voice they hear, but let it be your voice they hear. Move Eric out of the way so that people can only see Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected from the dead. I pray, God, today that you'll touch Christina and give her traveling mercies. That you'll touch Billy Parker and touch his health, God. Touch Bobby. She was right there with him. Touch Lee and Kim. Give Kim a special anointed touch this morning, God. Just heal her body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. And Father, I pray that you'll give Bishop Lee an anointing today as he preaches in Sacramento to just let the Holy Spirit fall and minister and touch and set the captive free. And Father God, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will take control of this service and do what you've accomplished, because you said that your word will never return back to you void, but it'll always do what you want it to do. And I pray, God, today that the Holy Spirit just takes full control. We're going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Doing a really old song written by Rusty Goodman. It's one of you hear my dad sing a lot. That's a very simple question. Who am I? When I think how he came so far from glory, he came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? Or who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. Old rugged cross he tore, for who am I? Who when I'm reminded of His words, I'll leave you never. Just be true, I'll give to you a life forever and forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, who'll fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will I'm for? I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's one and only Son, to an old rugged cross it goes. That to an old rugged cross he would go. To an old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I. Who am I? That's a question, isn't it? That Jesus came and died for you and me. And our lost, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to the book of Romans. Now, I've been talking about worship and the impact of worship in our lives. And I'm going to go on one more time with worship. As I look at worship as your key to victory. Worship as your key to victory. We're going to be in Romans 7, verse 25, and then Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. You please understand that this was a letter written in continuity. It was not broken up into chapters and verses the way it is in your Bible. So I'm going to read from verse 25 straight down to Romans 8, verse 4. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our own sinful nature. So God did what the law could not. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And that in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Now notice that Paul starts off with the words, thank God. And that's what I want to focus is, worship is our number one key to defeating this thing, this flesh. Because sin has us focused solely on ourself. But worship focuses on God. Now let that sink in for a minute. Sin will have you focus on what your flesh wants, what you want, what you desire, whereas worship will begin to focus you on God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, now anybody who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. We cannot do this. A baby comes into the world and can't take care of any of its own needs. It is completely dependent on the parent. Follow me here. When we become new creatures in Christ, we are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the shed blood to get us from point A to point B. At some point, we quit thinking it's about Him and it becomes about us, and we try to resurrect our flesh. Whereas what He said was, we are a new creature in Christ. You cannot fix yourself. You can say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to flip over a whole forest. I've made a resolution. When what you should be saying, God, I have to let you be God in me, through me, all the way. I can't do this on my own. That's where Romans comes in, Romans 12 and 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Don't let the thinking and the way this world does business and behaves itself become the way you live, but let God, notice the key, let God transform you into a new person. Let God transform you. Let God change you. Let God give you victory over your... Oh, I wish somebody hear me this morning. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to me too. When we stop trying to do on our own and let God transfer by changing the way you think. How do you think? We think about self. We change the way we think about Him. The old life. Then when you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. People, I want to know the will of God. Well, first you got to know God. You got to have God working in your life. You got to get out of your way. You got to move out the way, because as long as you're in your way, as long as in your flesh, you'll never find victory. Worship changes your perspective. You quit looking this way, you start looking up toward Him. Psalm 34 and 3 tells us to come. Let us tell the Lord's greatness and exalt His name together. Again, looking upward. Psalm 40 and 16. But may all who search for you, God, you, that mean God, be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. Repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. You know what that's telling me? That when we begin to get into worship, we begin to sing those songs of Zion, we begin to praise God, we begin to shout, the Lord is great, that reminds the enemy that we are standing firmly with God. But as long as our worship is tainted with the flesh, Satan's not worried about it. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Then I will praise God's name with singing. I will honor Him with thanksgiving. I hear people talking about God makes exits. The exit has always been through worship, because you've got to get into His presence. You've got to get out of your own way, out of your own flesh, because the flesh will kill you. The flesh will drive you to do and say things that you know is wrong, that the Bible teaches you is wrong, but yet you can't get out of it. You can't get off the hamster wheel. Let God. Secondly, sin causes us to work in our power. But worship causes us to work in His power. You say, you got scripture for that? Sure do. Nehemiah verse 8 and 10. Notice what he says. And Nehemiah continued. Now, the people had just heard the law for the first time. They were depressed. They were like, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. He says, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see what he's saying there? It's not your strength. It's not your power. It's not your might. It's through His strength. It's through His joy that you and I can do what we need doing. Zerubbabel was told in Zechariah 4 and 6, it is not by force, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. What God is trying to get us to understand, it's not our power. We can't do it. We can't fight the warfare that we have to fight in our flesh. However, we can fight the fight that we need to fight. I know that's a lot of fights. As long as we're in the power of God, as long as He is living through us, and like I preached before, put Christ on the way you do your clothes. When He said you'll be endued, that means sunk into clothes, covered in the Holy Spirit to be that witness, to be that warrior for Him. Zerubbabel was told it's not by the force of strength. It's not by your army. It's not by your power. But it's by my spirit, by what I'm doing. The problem in most churches today, we're trying to work up a shout. We're trying to work up a Holy Spirit move rather than just getting out of our own way, putting our program aside for the moment and say, God, these are your people. This is your house. I want you to do what you need to do and set captive people free. But instead, we just go through the motions. But it's his power that is the key. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. The king has gotten bad news. The opposing army says, look, we've conquered every other god we've ever faced. Your God is no different. We will defeat Jehovah. So the king, Jehoshaphat, says, this is what the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by the mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I wish somebody gave me an amen. So many of you, including this preacher, have tried to fight our battles on our own, our sinful nature, our desires, our habits, whatever. And we try to fix it. And then when you realize the more you try to fix it, the worse you get. Or the more opportunities that the enemy throws in front of you to make sure you understand you can't do it. But if you'll begin to reside yourself in worship and in God's power, clothe yourself in Christ, and remind you every time that the enemy shows up, it's not me that has to fight you, because the battle belongs to God. All I need to do is clothe myself in Christ, walk in the Spirit, stop feeding my flesh, and let God be God. But if you go on farther down to the story, look at verses 21 through 24 in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. When David was bringing back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, they walked six steps, but then they would stop and have church. They would do the sacrifice, and David danced. And you see, what I'm trying to tell you is, when you begin to focus worshiping on God and how faithful God is and how his love endures forever and how that God is always on the throne and he's not up for re-election and he is not bothered by the things of this earth, and you begin to sing, the Lord is good, his faithful love endures forever. Look what happens in that next few verses. At the very moment they... Oh, I wish somebody would hear me here. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise. At the very moment they began to worship. At the very moment they got their focus on God. At the very moment they began to hear that God was still loving them and faithful to them. At that very moment, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking one another. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, God began to fight the battle. At the moment they began to worship, God began to move. Oh, church, I wish somebody would get a hold of this. Some of you haven't sang a song to the Lord except gloom, despair, and agony on me. But I promise you, if you can get back to the place saying the Lord is good and greatly to be praised, God's love endureth forever. Love lifted me. The old rugged cross still makes the difference. And you begin to say, oh, I'm feeling this right now. If you begin to sing those songs at that very moment, God is fighting on your behalf. And the enemy cannot escape. So many of us today, when we go to worship, we're just singing songs. when we should be saying, I'm coming to church this morning to come into agreement with God's people so that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. Sin will focus on your helplessness. But in worship, we go to the throne to find help. Hebrews 4 and 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will find to receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it most. The reason so many of us are still struggling and fighting the same battles is because we're not going to the throne looking for grace. We're not coming before the throne praising God. Instead, we usually come before the throne with a complaint. But if you'll begin to worship God, if you'll just begin to sing those songs, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. In the presence of Jehovah God Almighty, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. I'd rather have Jesus. This world right now is in a terrible shape. You've got gas prices and inflation out the roof, and people are looking and they're saying, I don't know what to do. You look up. Dr. Stansbury, there's wars and rumors of wars going on everywhere. What do I do? Go to the throne. My children are lost. They're dying in sin. I don't want them to die and miss heaven. Go to the throne. I heard a preacher talking today about Joseph's bones. That he made the children of Israel promise that when you went to the promised land, do not leave my bones in this foreign land. And they took Joseph's bones. And I heard a preacher saying today, that's when you begin to claim that promise, even if you die, God will be faithful to his word. If you're praying for your children, if you're praying for your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, whomever, hold on that God is faithful to his words and he's collecting those prayers. I saw on Facebook today where someone goes, if you're alive today, you're at least living out one person's prayer for you. It is time that the church gets back to that holding on to the throne of grace. And we get there through worship. We can come boldly and begin to sing the songs. Every time you see a picture of the throne room in heaven, they got singing going on. And when Isaiah saw it, it was holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then you go to the throne room in heaven that John saw, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. You got what you need to understand is that's what brings us. God inhabits the praises of his people. He sits enthroned is what it says. That means he's sitting right in the middle. You want God to be in the middle of your situation, give him a chair. Oh, I wish somebody heard that right there. If you want God in the middle of your situation, offer God a chair. Have him come, have him a place to sit down and begin to worship. You might begin, even if you see, maybe you've got bad situations in your life. You've got sickness. Lord, I praise you that healing's on the way. I praise you that my financial situation is going to be resolved. I believe, God, that you've heard me. I am praising you for my children coming to Jesus. I'm praising you that I'm going to walk in the abundance of grace, that I'm going to, the flesh dies today, that I'm praising you that we've killed this thing. When you begin to praise that way, you give God a chair in the middle. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Come boldly and confidently. Well, now, you watch the world when they attend sporting events, concerts. And I'm making this as an example. When their team wins, they lose their mind. If it's a football game or a basketball game or whatever kind of game, when their team scores, they have cheerleaders going, yeah, and everybody's going, yeah. And when they leave, although they were not on the court or the field at all, they'll say, we won. Although they really had nothing to do with it. But we won. We are fighting in a warfare. with eternal consequences. There are people that you're going to come in contact with today that need to see Jesus Christ exuding out of you. How do you do that? Through worship. Now, you don't have to be looking in somebody's face and singing a song, but you can have it playing on repeat in your head. I've got a situation that I'm dealing with right now with some other human beings. And every time they start doing this, a song by Legacy 5 pops into my head and begins to play something new, something new. God is up to something new. So go ahead and take your seat. He's going to move. Just watch and see. God is up to something new. It reminds me, don't say anything. Don't try to fight this on your own. Get out your own way. Let God be God. Take it to the throne, leave it at the throne, and praise Him for the answer. So many of us will go before the throne of grace, and what we'll do, we'll pray, lay something down, pick it up, take it with us. Leave it there. There's an old song here. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And the moment you begin singing, the enemy begins to hear the voice of God. Begin to say, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. God told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Love is mine. Healing is mine. As I begin to sing those songs, as I begin to focus in worship, as I go before the throne, raising my hands in surrender and singing His praises, God moves in your situation. As long as you're just willing to let worship be the key to your victory. Can we pray? Father God, we thank You so much for Your love and mercy. We thank You that You hear us when we pray, that You know us in the deepest parts of our bodies. Like David said, You know my innermost parts. But Lord, You also know that we have hearts. We want to worship You. And I pray today, Father, that as I preach the word You gave me, that people are going to hear that word. They're going to begin to sing songs to You. And we're going to see a mighty move of God. And Father, for what I know You're going to do, bringing people to Jesus, I give You the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. Hey, don't forget to subscribe and like if you're on the YouTube channel. Subscribe and like if you're on your favorite podcasting platform. Share this with somebody. This is Dr. Eric Sandrick from Restoration Bible Fellowship. Hoping that you have a fantastic, utterly fantastic week, that grace and peace will be multiplied to you and your family. Feel free to always email me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com so that I can pray with you or answer any questions that you have. Also, don't forget, if you're on Facebook, look up for Bishop R.E. Lee, as he'll be preaching today, at some point, from his podcast. And join us always on Facebook Live and on YouTube. Don't forget, by way of announcing again, next Sunday will be our last podcast for 2 weeks. You can always go into the archives on our YouTube channel or on our podcast. So there's always, if you just get to jonesing for it. Ha ha, I know. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansberry from Restoration Bible Fellowship saying grace and peace be multiplied, and we will see you next week.